There's one word that you hear everybody use that works like I work, and that's resiliency. If there's any more resilient person in the world than a car dealer, I don't know who it is. You know, they can see feast and famine and react the same to both because they have been there, done that.
You're listening to Driving Performance, your go-to podcast for unmatched expertise in the world of buying and selling an automotive dealership. Each episode features discussions with industry leaders and is brought to you by Performance Brokerage Services, North America's premier family-owned automotive dealership brokerage firm with over 30 years of experience. We're here to ensure you gain the most reliable insights to confidently navigate a transaction and accomplish your unique goals. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, we prioritize building lasting relationships and maximizing the value beyond the transaction level. Here's your host, Jamie Farley, for another segment of Behind the Deal.
Welcome back to Driving Performance. I'm Jamie Farley, and today's episode is about who is working behind the scenes to help protect dealers and to keep this industry strong. I'm excited to have a new co-host today, George Chaconis. He's our partner in the Southeast, and together we're sitting down with Ted Smith, president of the Florida Automobile Dealer Association. Ted has spent years fighting for dealers at the state and national level, and his passion, I know, is certainly going to come through in our conversation today.
Thank you, Jamie, for that. I know we really appreciate him here in our great state of Florida as the president of the Florida Automobile Dealers Association, and look forward to hearing what he's got to say about State of the Union with the FADA and our dealers in the state of Florida.
All right. Well, Ted, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm loving this opportunity to be with you guys. I appreciate it very much.
Yes, we've been looking forward to this for a while. So I figure let's start here. You've been doing this a long time, 24 years, I believe.
That's right.
Well, it's quite the tenure, and you've had so much experience under your belt. What have you learned about what dealers really need from their association, and how do you feel that shaped the way you lead?
That's the perfect entree, I think, into our discussion today. And maybe the real question is, it's kind of the same question as, what is an association does for its members? Why are we necessary? Why are we needed? And I think you kind of almost have to look at the silos of an association. What do? Well, we certainly are advocates for our members. We're advocates with the legislature, with regulatory bodies, with the media, and certainly advocates with our manufacturers because we have such a connected relationship with them. So we're really in the business of advocating, providing technical information, and constant information about what's going on in the industry. Because let's face it, car dealers are busy selling and servicing cars and handling all the needs of their communities. They're so active in their community. So they really need us on the business side to do things that they're not able to do every single day. The advocacy, the technical information, the broad industry things that they're not focusing on. That's why they have us.
That's a great explanation.
So most people know what a state association does, but fewer understand why it matters when you're running a dealership. Can you break it down for us?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. As I said, dealers are busy doing what they do. I almost look at associations like home office, especially for smaller dealerships, but even for the larger ones, there are things that we do that are not being addressed by anybody else in the industry. Who else is looking at the future of the franchise system? And what we look at right now, obviously, is a tax on the franchise system. When factories come out and say, oh, we'd like to go around our dealers and be able to go direct to market, you know, a car dealer is busy doing what they do. So they hear those comments or they read those comments in automotive news, but they aren't proactive on those things unless they're involved in an association like FADA. So our job, my job and my team's job is to look at industry events and not be just reactive, but be proactive and provide, look at what a particular event might do to the ability of my dealers to operate, affect their profitability, affect their operating efficiency. anything that involves them, we have to look at it and be proactive and determine a response before something happens that's negative. And many times have to be reactive when something occurs in the industry that they're not really paying as close attention to as we are. It's our job to look at that event, evaluate it, determine its impact on our members, and then begin a response that will strengthen the franchise system and therefore strengthen the blue sky of every single dealer in Florida.
So you mentioned direct to consumer as an issue, and I'm curious, what do you feel are the top three issues that are on your desk right now that you're working on?
Certainly direct to consumer has been an issue. It's been talked about since Ford tried to launch their EV division. This association actually sued Ford Motor Company and said, what you're trying to do is going to impact allocation to our dealers in Florida. We believe the dealers can sell all cars. It doesn't matter what the powertrain of a vehicle is. Every single vehicle, car, truck, can be sold by our dealers most effectively. That's what we believe. So we don't believe the direct-to-consumer model really works. Here's a perfect example, Jamie. When you buy a car, there's a price for warranty in that car, right? Every OEM charges a price in the vehicle price to cover warranty for their 2-year, 3-year period, whatever it is. Can you imagine taking that warranty into a factory-owned store and having them have to address the labor and parts necessary to fix that vehicle? I really love that our dealers are present in that warranty operation because they're there to advocate for the customer and they are not directly tied to the OEM. So I just really believe that our system is much stronger than the direct sale by an OEM, and the control of the dealership by the OEM, I think, is much more a negative model for the consumer. The best consumer efficiency is when they walk into a franchise new car dealer.
I have to completely agree with that. I mean, just having someone local that you can reach out to, and those franchises are doing so much for their communities too. And that's really important for the economy, the local economy, the state economy, and that provides so much value.
I took an Uber ride in California. I was at a meeting last week and I took an Uber ride with a guy that had a Tesla. Matter of fact, I think every Uber that pulled up was a Tesla. And I said to the guy, well, how do you like your vehicle? And we were talking about it. And he said, well, I like it, but I went in and it was time to trade. And I went into Tesla last week and they offered me $5,000 for my trade-in. And I went, that is the difference between the franchise marketplace and the direct-to-consumer marketplace, where the OEM sells the car at a specific price. You don't get a nickel off of that price. And when it comes time to do the trade-in, you're stuck. The valuation they give you is the valuation you're going to get, unless you decide to take it to some other wholesaler. But, you know, I think that shows the point and the presence and the importance of the dealer network.
So just out of curiosity, when you are putting up the good fight, right, and actively campaigning against some of these proposed policies or way of doing business, what does that fight look like? What are the actions that you take?
That's really interesting. This whole in 2023 that we had a major piece of legislation. I know you want to talk about that. I think that's a great example of what the fight looks like. So we were looking at Volkswagen and their ownership of Scout and their plans for distributing Scouts after 2023. Well, in 2023, we didn't know what that looked like at all because they wouldn't tell us. Are you going to use dealers or are you going to launch this car direct to consumer? So we went into the legislature and began to have some conversations with legislators. And we said, our dealers have been the sales and marketing arm for their respective legacy OEMs for 40, 50 years. Now, some of those folks are saying, we should be able to go around the dealer and go direct to the consumer. We have been propping them up for years. There's no such thing as Ford Motor Company in Tampa, Florida, or in Wauchula, Florida. It's the local dealer that is Ford Motor Company. So do you believe that we've got an investment in that operation that benefits the consumer? That was the battle, Jamie and George. And when I had those conversations with legislators, almost to a person, they said, the investment by the dealers makes sense. It's something that should be supported. We don't mind that Tesla goes direct to consumer because they've never had dealers, but we believe that dealers who have been footing all the bill for marketing, sales, and service for dealerships for years, that those legacy OEMs should not be competing directly with them. What does that mean? That means directly online. That means they shouldn't be able to set up a store across the street. That also means they shouldn't be able to buy a subsidiary company like Scout and place Scout dealerships across the street from a VW dealership. That was an easy sale because they looked at the model. They said, we like the model of the franchise system, and we believe we ought to protect the people that have invested millions of dollars in that, and by the way, support their communities at the same level.
I completely agree. I'm a big believer in protecting our dealers and franchised dealers throughout our great state of Florida as what you're fighting for our dealers, because it adds a lot of value to our dealerships when it's time to sell them.
Listen, George, you've got to have a positive business climate, and Florida has that as well. I'm really proud to say, you know, our governor runs around stumping Florida as the free state of Florida. And that was very obvious from COVID until now. We were a state that was not closed for sales or service during COVID. We don't have any regulatory issues here. If you mention a fee to this governor, a new fee being put on businesses or consumers, our governor says, not in the free state of Florida. We don't believe in fees. We don't believe in new additional charges for consumers. We want an open and free competitive marketplace. The franchise system is just that. However, it's a regulated and open marketplace, right? It's not completely free. We don't allow GM to come in and set up stores across the street from their GM dealers. So it's regulated to that degree, but it's regulated for a reason, because the system we have today offers the most competitive products and really available service of any business or of any product you find in the state. It's extremely competitive.
So a few things you touched on about the uniqueness of, you know, our state and the association. Also, what other things do you think that allows the dealers to thrive in our state through the efforts of the FADA?
Well, we're only here because they support us, George and Jamie, and that I'm really proud of. We have tremendous support from our dealers. But the legislative process is a very transactional one these days. You'll hear my counterparts say that around the country. Florida is a perfect example of that. When you go across town here and you walk into that Capitol, you have to play ball above the rim, which means you need to invest in that process. You need to be really active in the legislative process. That takes dealer resources. It takes their time and their energy. I'm so fortunate to have a great board of directors, a great legislative chairman. Paul McNamara in Orlando is my legislative chairman, a former chairman of FADA. And guys like that, my current chairperson, which I hope we'll talk about in a while, having active, involved dealers is just as important as having an active association. We don't do it just on our own. We do it with the help of our members.
So speaking of the dealers, I know that you are talking to them probably on a daily basis. What are you hearing from them that they're most concerned about or excited about right now?
Well, they just say, Teddy, make all my problems go away and we'll continue to make sure you're around. I mean, sometimes that's the way I feel. I was telling somebody, I'm talking to an employee, a possible employee, and I said, sometimes I feel like a pastor. I've got this block of dealers out there, and they call me up, and sometimes they just want to vent and go, oh, my gosh, I've got so many pressures from my factory, and what about these tariffs? What's that going to look like? I mean, listen, tariffs are on everybody's mind right now, and the problem is there's no prescription that's one size fits all here. Every factory is answering the tariff situation in a different way. Some are increasing their prices, some are not. Some are passing the prices on to the dealer, some are passing the prices on to the customer, some are absorbing the prices. Some have governments that are helping them absorb the prices. So the big vacuum right now is what is going to be the impact when it's all said and done on my dealers and the consumers buying the cars. Obviously, if the factories put the charges off on my dealers are going to have to recoup those costs by changing their grosses on vehicles. It's just, you can't sell in a negative posture and be around very long. So I think the unknown in that whole tariff and pricing area is one of the real issues that's keeping some people up at night.
Yeah, you kind of never know what you're going to get when you wake up in the morning. What's going to be on the news?
It depends on your factory. It depends on the response of each individual manufacturer. Pricing starts at the factory. We've always said the customer of the factory is my car dealer. Anybody watching this that might not even be a car person, these cars are consigned. We pay for these cars. You know, we pay the factory for the cars. It's an asset, and it's a depreciating asset, and it's sitting on every lot. That's why the system works. We buy the cars from the factory, and then we attempt to move those out and sell them as quickly and expeditiously as we can, and in a way that works for the consumer and works for us and turn business. So that's the good news for the consumer. The difficult news for us is we have to make sure that we've got available vehicles. So it's not just pricing. We're not sure what the availability is going to look like, because obviously factory production is being impacted greatly by all these tariff conversations. And some of our OEMs are still in that EV world, because remember, the government was telling them for a while, you're going to be selling all EVs and very few gas vehicles. Now all that's changed. That's got to change production, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Do you find that the dealer sentiments are more along the lines of, hey, things are really uncertain out there and I'm concerned? Or is it more, this is hopefully just a small blip right now. We're going to get through it. This is a long-term play. I'm going to be a little bit worried, but I'm not that worried because I'm in it for the long haul. And this is the automotive business.
There's one word that you hear everybody use that works like I work, and that's resiliency. If there's any more resilient person in the world than a car dealer, I don't know who it is. You know, they can see feast and famine and react the same to both, because they have been there, done that. My gosh, whoever thought in 2008 to 10, we'd have two major bankruptcies and we'd have so much turmoil in the industry, and we would have factories actually terminating dealerships under the protection of the Federal Bankruptcy Act in 2008 to 10, I lost 65 of my dealers. They lived through that. They lived through COVID. They lived through CDK's breach. They're living through all kinds of cybersecurity issues. These folks are just fantastic, fluid business people that understand, and you know what, they're risk takers. So I just applaud them. I think they're super positive. Mm-hmm. You have to be positive to be in this business, because they have an immense risk. They have millions of dollars worth of investment, and they have to move vehicles to pay those investments off. So they have to be forward-thinking, positive folks. That's why I love them so much.
Ted, are you seeing a lot of younger dealers coming in as dealers, or is it still mostly legacy families holding the reins in Florida?
I think the association needs to be a reflection of its membership. I hope we are that here in Florida. One of the things I'm really proud of is the fact that we're getting younger members on our board of directors. We have some fantastic ladies, executives from our business that have joined our team. Yes, I'm seeing, you know, NADA pushes next gens. That's been their term for years for bringing in young folks. They bring kids into the academy that are family members of existing dealers. And those people, or they get so ignited and they want to come into Florida. Every time somebody graduates from the academy, George and Jamie, I know exactly who they are and what store they're in. And we actually follow up with them and try to get them involved in our association so that they're part of the change that's occurring in our industry, and they help model progressive change in our business. So I'm really proud of that. Absolutely, we're seeing younger folks. We have great minority participation in our association, but I'm really energized by the role of our female execs, especially here in Florida. I'd love to talk more about that, because that's exciting.
Yeah, please do. We'd love to hear more about it.
And now my chairman, it is Megan Bush Del Pizzo. It's the Bush Automotive Group in Jacksonville, Florida. She is my second lady chairperson in my tenure here. And I'm a little bit ashamed of that. I wish we'd had more. But the good news is right now on our executive committee, We have four ladies working with us on our executive committee, Judy Serra and Shannon Kamenowski and Karm Sutton, whose dad, Nate, sits on the NADA board of directors. So that's four. We have with Megan, that's four fantastic ladies on my executive team, which consists of about 10 dealers. And they're the folks that are kind of they're the steering mechanism of FADA. I talk to them. You talk about talking to dealers. I talk to them every week. And we're looking at issues constantly, trying to figure out how to steer the ship. It's not a one-man job or a two-person job here in FADA. It's a collaborative partnership. And that partnership having four fantastic women on it, we have perspective. And they're not there because they're women. They're there because they're fantastic car dealers.
That's fantastic to hear. I mean, that's a topic that's near and dear to my heart, just attracting more women to the industry and growing more women in a leadership position. So that's fantastic for you to have their perspectives and contributions on your team. Just curious, is there anything that maybe you've talked to them about where they lent a perspective and you're like, wow, I never thought about it that way, just because of their unique backgrounds?
I think it just happens all the time. Everyone, all four of those people are so involved in their communities, and all dealers are, but their perspective about outreach into the community and their heartbeat for their local communities is even greater than some of the guys. I mean, their passion for wanting to serve in their localities is just really something to be recognized and celebrated. Judy Serra does so much with veterans in her area, and so much with first responders. And we spend a lot of time putting the spotlight on everything our dealers do locally in our publications and our digital news. We write pieces about ideas that dealers have had on ways to serve the people in their communities. We shine a bright light on that. We started our own Dealer Hall of Fame in Florida a couple of years ago, which you guys have been very active in. So, George, I appreciate you so much. We believe that, you know, the National Association with Ally Bank and NADA, having someone recognized from each state each year as a dealer who's super involved and on the cutting edge of things in their communities, that's great. But, you know, we decided we wanted to have that in Florida. We want to recognize, my old saying has been, I want to recognize people for what they do while they're alive, not after they're gone. So we've started our own Hall of Fame, and the idea is let's shine a light on Karm Sutton or Judy Serra or Megan Bush Del Pizzo for the things they're doing. And so far, we've had about 25 inductees in our Hall of Fame. So it all gets back to what's the representation of our industry in this state? We're a $110 billion industry, but we're putting millions back into every community.
I love hearing that. Ted, is there any other issue that you're actively involved in fighting and that you haven't talked about already?
Yeah, the number one issue for me as the guy running the association is what I've noticed around the country. We talk about this a lot at FADA. I talk about it with all of my counterparts when we meet countrywide. Just like we talked about earlier, the direct-to-sales model, some of our OEMs are looking at our franchise laws and basically saying, we don't care about your franchise laws. We think your franchise laws are bad for the business, not good for the business. The Alliance of Automotive Innovation recently sent out some comments that said that the industry was not competitive and even might have some antitrust factors involved in how we sell and service cars, which drives me nuts. But the biggest thing that's going on now, some OEMs are looking at their operations in our state and other states, and they're saying, we don't care whether there's a franchise law that says we can't do a particular thing in that state. We're just going to do it anyway. We're going to act like that law's not there. So we have an enforcement issue. I hope I can make this make sense. It's very difficult to enforce franchise laws in each state because the enforcement body is typically the Department of Highway Safety. Some states have a motor vehicle commission. We don't have that in Florida. We must rely on two ways. If a factory decides to do something that violates Florida law, there are only two ways for us to resolve it. The DMV has to step up and regulate it, and they have no history of doing that. They don't have the staff, the time, the knowledge, the wherewithal to regulate OEM practices relative to the franchise law. So you know who that leaves? The second party is the dealer. The statute says the dealer or DMV has to step up and challenge any factory potential violation of Florida franchise law. When was the last time you saw a dealer that wanted to go sue their manufacturer, the one that provides them cars?
Right.
That's something any dealer wants to do.
They don't want to do that.
Right. I found that out when so many dealers were outraged about what Ford was doing with the EV program. I met with all of my dealers online in Zoom calls and said, "Are you mad?" They went, "Are we mad? We're totally upset. It's shaking the foundation of our relationship with Ford Motor Company." I said, "Well, then, what do you want to do about it?" They said, "We want you to do something about it, Teddy. Let's get FADA." There's the problem. So you ask me what my concern is. My concern is there needs to be a third party that can be involved in enforcement. We'd like that to be FADA. I would like for our association to be able to stand in the shoes of our dealers, bring an issue to either DMV or the court system when we see an alleged violation of Florida franchise law. Right there, our statute doesn't allow that. We attempted to get it done in this past legislative session, and we were shut down. We were not able to do it. But that is one of the number one problems facing my dealers is if DMV is not going to make something happen and the dealer doesn't want to do that because of their relationship, it really falls back on FADA. So we have a program in place to try to get that done. And I think a lot of states would like to have that same capability. And it would be a refreshing thing because all we want to do is not sue a factory every time we turn around. We'd like to have a couple successes and then there wouldn't be any no challenges because they'd realize that you're not going to be able to do that in the state of Florida.
That would be a lot to put on a dealer. And then if there's other dealers involved too, how do you get them to kind of band together? And it seems like FADA or that party, right, needs to be able to help coordinate that because that's a lot.
And that's our role right now. We do have a lawsuit in Florida. 20 or so VW dealers did step out of their normal desire and they said, we have to challenge this Scout program where VW is going to provide vehicles direct to consumers because we believe that they should be providing them to us. So I have 20 plus dealers that have entered a lawsuit and they're challenging that VW Scout distribution model. So we're going to see how that plays out in the court. We believe our 2023 law speaks specifically to that type of distribution, and we're going to look forward to a good result. But that is a case where dealers who wouldn't normally join together felt like, if not now, when? And if not this situation, which one? This is the time and the place, and they've invested in doing that. We are working with them, but it's not our lawsuit. It is this body of dealers that are litigating that question right now, Florida. And we were the first state to do it. Those dealers are going to be supported by FADA, and NADA has thrown their hat in the ring. So that's not something we're going to just sit by and watch happen without a response.
How long do you think this particular action will take to play out?
It'll be done by next Tuesday at 3:30. No, it won't.
We wish, right?
No idea.
No clue, just forever.
You know, I'd sooner find out who's pulling in Oz, who's the Wizard of Oz. I have no idea. Things like this, one of the problems with this whole concept is, even if you make a challenge, it can take 1 year, 2 years. If there's an appeal, it could take 3 years. By the time you have an effective answer to whatever's happening, that ship has sailed, man. That distribution model can be moving. We have not been able to stop. We won't necessarily be able to stop that distribution model. If it takes 2 years, we're going to see some possible negative results while we wait for an answer from the courts. That's the not so good side of the
course. Yeah. These things take such a long time.
They do. They take time and they take money. And typically dealers don't have as much money as our factory partners, but when their backs are put against the wall, Jamie and George, you know what they're going to do. They're going to fight for their system, for what they believe in, for what they're invested in.
Ted, coming towards the end of our podcast, what's one thing you wish more dealers knew about FADA and how it can support them, and what should dealers be doing to support their local state dealer associations across the country?
Here's the real answer to that. I have almost never had a new member of the board of directors come onto the board, and in their first year, they look at me and go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. They sit at our board meetings. They hear the strategic conversations. They see that we're involved with regulatory agencies and the FTC with NADA, and they see that we're fighting the good fight for them, and they go, oh my gosh, as a rank and file dealer, I had no idea. Well, they have no idea because there's not a pure communication tool. If you tell me email works today, I'll think you've had a three martini lunch. Email is not an effective communication device. If I could take every one of my members, guys, and put them on my board of directors tomorrow and have 900 board members, they'd all go home. Of course, I would need a circus tent to have my board meetings, but they would all go home with passion about what this association does, because that's what happens to my new board members. They go home going, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And of course, I'm going to take that information. I'm going to take their new passion and multiply that throughout all of my dealer members. But absent programs like this, where we're talking to dealers, it's a difficult thing to do, right? I mean, can you communicate with all of your clients instantaneously and take what's in your head and put it in theirs? I don't think you can. If you can, please tell me how to do it, because I don't know how. Really, it's tough.
Well, I love this message that you're sharing about getting involved and just also the extensive list of things that you guys are working on. And maybe not everybody knows that. So I love that you are sharing that with our audience today.
Can I say one more thing? Our members are corporate members. They're not individual members. When Megan Bush Del Pizzo joins FADA, her entire dealership joins FADA. So guess what? Service manager has a problem. You know who he can call? Me. Or a member of my team. If I don't know the answer, I'll get them an answer. They have a repository within FADA for every department in their store. That's something I'd like every dealer to realize and make sure all their department members are connected to us, just like I'd like them to be connected to people like you that help them understand how you build the value of your dealership. They need to know that they have us right here, ready to serve, ready to answer any question they bring. When they do that, oh man, the connection's made. And I never have to worry about a dues check coming in here because they're going to support us all.
That's great. Well, that's exciting. We look forward to continuing to promote FADA through our firm and through this podcast and other means.
Ted, it's been fantastic having you on. Do you have any final words as we wrap up?
I just love you guys for doing this, and because it's just one more way to communicate with our dealers. I appreciate your support of FADA. I appreciate broadcasts like this and podcasts like this are so helpful. Sometimes dealers just need to click the phone on when they're driving somewhere 2 hours and take in information like you're providing. So my hat's off to you. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Ted. If anybody wants to get in contact with you or FADA, where should they go?
They should pick up the phone, or they should look for us at flada.org on the internet, of course, but they should just contact us by the phone. The best way to talk to me is to pick up the phone and say, hey, man, I need some help, and we'll do anything we can for you any time of day. We don't really have hours.
What's the best number, Ted?
Well, I've got a little cell phone issue right now, so I'll just give my desktop, 850-224-2580, or teds@flada.org. We'd love to help you with any issue you've got that you're facing.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
What a great time with you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Driving Performance. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review. If you're considering buying or selling an automotive dealership, reach out to us at performancebrokerageservices.com or send an email to info@performancebrokerageservices.com.